Welcome. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Where the only thing worse than living in a holographic fractal projected consciousness controlled by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery and child trafficking Satanists is Vinny's jokes. My very special guests, we've got a whole cadre of them today, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing that we can even pull this off in such short notice. So without, as they say, and all. We don't have the titles correctly displayed as yet, so we'll correct that in due course. But we have Antoinette James, Amy Benjamin, Billy TK, Dr. Rima Labo, and Chris Newman. For those of you who don't know who these people are, we'll give them a quick 1 minute each to quickly state their case, and then we're going to get on to the further discussion, which is the dwindling vestige of freedom in New Zealand, and the persecution and arrest of activists like Billy TK and myself, and not to mention all the other people who've been facing subsequent government actions since the outbreak of scumbaggery. Now, who would like to go first here? We'll start sequentially. We'll go with Antoinette James, because it starts with an A. Antoinette, go for your life. 1 minute about who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I always start with being a wife and a mum, six adult children now, home educated them, always been aware of freedoms, particularly being a home educating mum, and that opened up more research around 2016, looking at the geopolitical situation, why we are where we are. I learned a lot, a year full-time research, wrote We Are Revolting, mainly looking through what's happening in England and America, because those two countries, once they're down, we're all gone. Worked with Billy Tikahika with NZPP in the New Zealand elections, 2020 elections. After that, I wrote Under the Shadow, which is looking at Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 in New Zealand, and been very busy in Hei Wakaputanga, spent a couple of years actively involved with the Wakamininga Māori government, still have an association with them, but are not actively working within their hallowed halls at the moment. Currently, I'm in the UK, just touching base with a few things here, but by no means out of the fight in New Zealand, still very much active, lots of Zooms, and that's the joy, I guess, of technology, that we can still keep in touch regardless of where we are. Comes with hooks, of course, but we just have to suck that in at the moment. Indeed. Thanks, Vinny.
Indeed. And we're just going to try and get Steve Oliver also connected here, if you just give us 1 moment. Guys, and also remember, for those of you online, that this is a listener-supported show, so please go to vinnieeastwood.com and make a donation today. That would be absolutely wonderful, guys. And we have the ability, I think, to support the show via very many different means, like, for example, PayPal and Patreon as well, through the band. Now, our next speaker, we've got Chris Newman. Chris, give us a little bit about yourself in 1 minute or less.
Sure. Pretty well cover the gamut of what's going on in the scene. So in 1978, I was at the front lines of Puriora Forest, the first major environmental turnaround in New Zealand. In my early 20s, I was a Marxist. I got very high marks for Marx. So I really do understand the cultural Marxist push and how that has been working in New Zealand for the past nearly 50 years. I went through the teachers' college, where they tried to brainwash me into this liberal touchy-feely stuff. I've lived, I've deceased 25 years of my life. I've been involved with the International Rainforest Movement in New York, Florida, and also into Central and South America. I have a lot of experience and background with different religions, minor religions, what you might not call cults. I do understand deeply how all that works. And seeing the a lot of my fellows now being called white supremacists just as a rerun of the anti-cult ideology, and it's the same old academics playing the same old games. I've got tertiary qualifications in education, sociology, language. I've also been at a seminary. Way back when Billy and me were brothers in arms in the election with the Advanced New Zealand Party, I've dipped my toe in politics, been involved in lobbying all the way from the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Truss, right down to the local level. Used to dealing with council, councillors, and a whole range of issues. I come from a family that's got deep roots here. I'm fourth generation, and my children are fifth. I have international marriage, lived in Orient, understand Oriental philosophy. Quite well clued on how the Chinese invasion of New Zealand has penetrated and subverted our whole political system. And when I came across a little book like this, it says The Sellout of New Zealand by Dennis McKenna from 1989, it's obvious that we're dealing with a plan that's been in execution for a long, long time. So all those elements I just rushed through then bear on the present circumstance, because I can see the history of it working right through. So I'll be brief now, but because I got a bit of white and grey hair, it means I knew New Zealand before it was perverted by globalism. I used to work for the city council, pushing a broom up the street, cleaning the gutter. So I know about the local council grassroots. That's as grassroots as you can get, sweeping the gutter with a broom. Okay, who's next?
Indeed. And we've got Steve Oliver, who has joined us. Steve, your camera is not on, though, so we're going to, while you get that sorted, we're going to go to Amy Benjamin. Amy, welcome.
Hey, everybody. I'm an ex-academic. I was at the Auckland of Technology Law School for 6 years. I left in 2021. Largely because the environment at the law school, and not just UT Law School, but I could see the writing on the wall, the environment at universities in general has become rather antagonistic toward critical thinking and freedom of speech. My interests as an academic were the fraudulent wars instigated by Western governments in I did case studies on the fraudulent intervention in Libya and Syria, separate studies. I was one of the, I think I perhaps wrote the first significant academic article on false flag terrorism. I published an article in a journal put out by Edinburgh University Press on 9/11 as false flag, why international law should dare to care. And I've studied false flag terrorism, state terrorism in general, and I produced a fairly large study on political secrecy and globalism, and the two are tied together because a global governance structure is so wrongful in terms of political morality that it has to be done rather secretively and under cover of banal and benevolent sounding slogans. So that was my sort of trajectory as an academic. I think everyone can see that, you know, the sorts of things I was interested in made me very well positioned to see in COVID a false flag on the medical side. And I didn't see it coming really until it was upon us. I was concerned more with kinetic false flags, more traditional false flags. But when it happened, it took me all of about 5 minutes to understand what we were looking at. And I've been sat in the naughty corner ever since, pilloried in the press and hit pieces and the like, all of which I'm very proud. I've worked with Billy rather extensively and had the honor to do quite a few interviews with Vinny, and I'm really happy to meet you all.
Okey-dokey. And we've got Steve finally on the line there, brother. Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in like 1 minute or less, if you can.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm in some pretty impressive company. I mean, I'm no academic. I mean, I can count up to 10 and, yeah, I mean, and see, you know, basic, obvious stuff. I mean, we're really connected to community. We've been in the community for generations. You know, my father was had a gym and done a lot of community work, and we're just 24/7, and you know, involved in community, and yeah, just you know, what we seen it. It just didn't add up. It looked like, you know, the news briefs looked like had about as much relevance as a Shortland Street episode to our lives on, you know, in reality. And, you know, I've got a great network internationally. I've spent a lot of time overseas, and, you know, just unlike our leadership, I've just got a lot of life experience. I've lived overseas for more than 20 years and, you know, just had to survive and work numerous jobs and seen how it works on the street. And, you know, just the what we've seen coming through the news briefs, and that was just not reality. It was just absolute hysterical, you know, nonsense. And, yeah, you know, as far as the gym, we just decided to try and support the community when it was needed. I mean, there was a lot of mental health issues, people getting locked up, you know, in lockdown mentality and, you know, phobias and anxiety and stuff, and then we were told to close the gym to these people. So that's what we've done. We're just you're just trying to be, support the community like we've always done.
With that being said, we have so many guests here today. We're going to introduce them all. So we now have Dr. Rima Labo. Come on and tell us a little bit about yourself for the audience here.
Thank you. I am in august company, and I'm really delighted. Thank you for including me. I'm a physician. I live in the United States at the moment, and I'm from the United States. I graduated in 1970 from medical school, which is still in living memory, I am happy to say. And in the decades that followed, I have never written a prescription for a pharmaceutical, so that tells you that I do things a little bit differently. In 2004, I saw what was coming, which is this that we're living through, not because I was psychic and my pineal gland was activated, but because I read the documents of the would-be controllers. They have laid it out for well over 100 years, saying what they would do as soon as they had the technological wherewithal to do it. And I said to my husband, Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III, who was a brilliant strategic analyst, having retired from the U.S. Army as the head of their intelligence and security service. He was really good at what he did. I said, you know, if somebody who doesn't approach this whole issue of health freedom from a strategic point of view, rather than a tactical one, doesn't get involved, we have no chance globally. And he said, right. So we closed our practice, sold our house, created the Natural Solutions Foundation, which, as far as we know, is the largest health freedom organization in the world. I urge everyone to go to Prevent Genocide 2030, PreventGenocide2030.org, and poke around and take actions there. And if your country does not have an action item there to get out of the WHO, that's the World Holocaust Organization, and the United Nations, if your country does not yet have an action item there, contact me. I'm going to put my email in the chat and we will put one up. If we don't get out of the World Holocaust Organization, then everything that they plan for us will occur exactly as they're bringing it forward. And I say no.
Yes, I say it would be less than ideal. Billy TK, last but least. Last but not least. Where is he? Oh, Billy's just finally muted and turned his camera off right at the time that we needed him to be here. All right, well, that's the panel, ladies and gentlemen. Now,
it's a vanishing panel.
We can't predict these things. Okay, so the whole concept that we were trying to get down here is basically remind people, especially the audience, about Billy TK and my arrest, and all the people that you see here, apart from Dr. Brema Labo, were actually there at the time of our arrest. So this was in August 18th, 2021, of all things, and it was quite terrible. Dr. Rima at solutionsfoundation.co.uk?
Dr. Rima at Natural Solutions Foundation.
Okay, there you go. All right. Now, Billy has left us at the moment, but he will rejoin soon. So I'd like to get a little bit of kind of a discussion going here about these tactics that are actually being used, the strategies that are being used by the state to basically suppress activists, alternative media and the like. Billy, please just give us a rundown on your behalf there. And you might need to get your headphones in there proper. He's driving at the moment, ladies and gentlemen, so it might not be the case. Okay, next.
Okay.
Here he is.
All right, I'm here.
All right.
Here I am. Yeah, kia ora, everybody. I'm really delighted to be here. Everybody here is a really dear friend of mine. And just like Dr. Rima said, it's a very august panel that we had today, so I'm very delighted and humbled to be here. So basically, I'm a former international guitar player. I had an international career for about...
He's driving. He's
almost
in bad
30
reception
years
here, so.
Touring the world, playing guitar, and also an international businessman.
Well, sorry guys, this is a little bit difficult, so maybe when you get back into a better reception area, Billy will come to you. In the meantime, just please, Amy Benjamin, just from your point of view, what do you think that day kind of like represented? You called it the day democracy died kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I went off to that rally not having any concerns that it would be broken up and its organizers arrested. It never occurred to me going off to that rally that such a thing
happened. Vincenzo, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Billy, but you've got a bit of a bad reception area, so we'll come back to you once you're in a better spot, eh? All right, sorry, Amy, continue.
So I was mightily surprised. I went there, I was observing, I was supporting you and Billy, and then when I saw the two of you set upon by the police and arrested and taken away, I was absolutely gobsmacked. And I wandered back to my flat in Mission Bay and I sat down and I thought about it and I said, well, this has to be addressed. So I posted a YouTube video, my first ever. I think it was entitled The Day Democracy Died, and it went viral because I was the only academic taking a stand against the COVID madness. The only academic, I think, except for Simon Thornley with his Plan B work over at the University of Auckland. I was certainly, I think, the only academic on the liberal arts side. I got into some hot water with my university and then, you know, with the larger New Zealand intelligentsia and political class, and hit pieces ensued. And that was the beginning for me when I saw what happened to you and Vinny. Absolutely crazy that the very thing you were protesting against, the lockdowns, was the legal justification for ending the protest. I thought, surely people see the problem with that kind of logical bootstrapping. I mean, it's bootstrapping 101. You can't close something down by invoking the correctness of the very thing being in controversy, being contested. It's like you know, shutting down an anti-war protest, saying that, you know, the enemy will take solace in such a protest that we have to shut you down. And the protesters would say, yeah, but we're contesting the need for this war. No, no, the war is good and valid, and you're giving consolation to the enemy by questioning the government. So down you go. I mean, it's the same illogic, and all the people out there who were cheering your arrest obviously did not enroll in Polemics 101, or if they did, they failed it.
Yeah, there's quite a bit there. You know, it was just sort of like it was a very emotional day, and a lot of people actually got depressed. Actually, that I spoke to after watching the footage there. And yeah. I think the next person in our panel I kind of want to comment on there is the one who couldn't swallow for 24 hours afterwards because of the hand of the police officer on the throat. That would be Antoinette James.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that day was an amazing day. Same with Amy. We just went there to do what we should be able to do, is to have the right to protest, if you want to use that word, or have a voice, because how else do we do that? And yes, first I hedged around Billy once it looked like he was going to be arrested, and a policeman grabbed my arm. I ended up with bruises from that. He wouldn't let it go. I kept telling him to let me go. He was assaulting me. The weird thing with the police that day is they didn't give any of we the people, any of the public, eye contact. This was a different kind of police or policeman that I had seen in New Zealand. It wasn't the type of policeman that was there to support the public. We were definitely the enemy that day, the way they grouped and came back out. And in fact, I think pretty much the protest was over once Billy had been taken away. And in fact, we had already crossed the street. We were starting to disband, but that didn't deter the police. They came out with their little books, and or big books really, and they had names. They were going down those names. They came for Vinny, and I did what any self-respecting mother would do, although Vinnie Towers, stand in front of him peacefully. And as I was doing that, yes, I had a policeman specifically target me and lunge through the crowd with his arm out and grab me around the throat. If it wasn't for two other freedom fighters pushing him off, I'm not quite sure what would have happened then, because he was moving because he had lunged and I was starting to move backwards. And I did have difficulty swallowing for the next 24 hours after that. So, yeah, I think a lot of deaths that day, death of democracy, death of the police who are there supposedly under their oath to protect us, death of trust in the police. Billy had already organized that protest, speaking to one of the police, you know, hierarchy, it was all okay. So there were a lot of things that went down that day that destroyed any vestige of what New Zealand had been about.
Yeah, and Steve, Oliver, you were there as well. What's your recollection?
Yeah, I went along there with my uncle, and you know, it was peaceful. It was a peaceful protest. There was absolutely no hostility, you know, as per normal on our side. And you know, we all got up and said something and, you know, addressed. It wasn't a big crowd, and once the police had been given the green light, they just came for you and Billy, really. I mean, we were all there, so but they definitely had you guys in their radar, so really unfortunate, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've always had a lot of respect for the police, so I'm a big supporter of the police. We give discounted memberships to the force and to the guys, because I believe they do a great job in the community. But, you know, yeah, there's been a real change in the mindset of us. You know, I don't know if it's the whole force, but I think there's definitely an allocation within the force that, you know, turning into bullies. You know what I mean? There's, you know, they're just you guys. I mean, it's just never ending. I mean, that Freedom Village down in Wellington, I was there. You know, it's a beautiful, it's the most beautiful community project I've ever been a part of, as far as just the community coming together. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is or what your skin colour is or, you know, what your pronouns are. Everyone's together, you know what I mean? And everyone was there united as just to our human rights to not be forced to take a medical procedure. I think it's a pretty standard sort of argument. And there was people amongst the crowd that had been injured, you know, vaccine injured, and you know, just the government to sign off on something to say that they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna they're not gonna engage with the community or their people was, you know, it's just they should be struck off their role. I mean, their role is to communicate what the people want, and they just all signed a document saying that they won't engage with the with the people. And then they sent in the heavies, and I know a lot of people in the force, and you know, it started with the tow truck drivers. The Kiwi tow truck drivers didn't want to know about it, so the police you know, fell on deaf ears there to get all the cars towed away. And then they put an email out to the police, New Zealand police, and 99% of them just didn't respond, so they had to fly in Australians to come and to deal out the justice, or so-called justice, over here to innocent people just protesting their, you know, their basic human rights. And and just recently you've got Liz Gunn, just, you know, with a camera out at the airport, just basically just you know, peacefully just asking questions to a couple of people, and then police coming in like it's like they got something to prove. You know, it's embarrassing. You guys, the police, are just embarrassing themselves coming into with ladies and putting ladies down. I mean, it's, you know, how do they feel? I just don't understand the mindset. You know, it's got to be, you know, their parents have got to be proud, don't they? You know, proud of these cops using the, you know, I guarantee it's their forefathers that fought against this sort of nonsense. You know, this fascism. And then, you know, down at Freedom Village, we're all walking, you know, walking back, and you know, we're all in groups, Māori, Pacific Islander, Asian, you know, all walking together. And then they had an anti-protest down there. Everyone had 99% had pink hair, and we're white, and they're screaming out that we're racist and fascist. You know what I mean? They're just delusional. They're absolutely delusional, you know. But the politicians decided that they'd come out and engage with this delusional bunch, you know. So just shows you where their loyalty lie and the narrative that they're pushing, you know. It's, yeah, it's an interesting time. It's pretty disappointing, to be honest. And, you know, just, you know, the community as a whole, these people live amongst us, you know. It's all gone back to relative normalism now. You still get the odd extremist running around with a mask on, but 99% of it's over. But, you know, it just takes a news brief or a news flash to come across the news to say, you know, make a certain type of the community outcast, and you're going to get these people that think that that's a good idea, kicking them out of shops. And then, what is it next time? Is it ginger-headed, or, you know, is it people with mullets, or, you know, I don't know what's the next demographic that they're going to pick. But, you know, they've got these sheep that just go along and think, you know,
I feel for a sweet.
Oh, one moment, please, guys. We're going to have to go to break. We'll be right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. Please remember to go to VinnieEastwood.com and make a donation today, and check out Vinnie and the Vendettas' music over there as well. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah, freedom won't make it. No.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about the downfall of society. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guests are all on the panel here today. And we're trying to see if Billy TK has finally got some decent reception there. It seems a little bit pasty, so let's quickly go to Chris Newman. Chris, you've got to unmute and then start on speaking there, brother. Yeah, memories and thoughts from the day.
How's that sounding, Vinny? Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, we can, Billy. We'll just go to Chris first, real briefly, and then we'll cut to you for the last. Go for your life, Chris.
I had received visits from the police, handing me a letter, which warned me from attending any events that were being run by very doubtful characters. So I guess they were very concerned for my well-being and didn't want to, my pure soul to be influenced by the likes of Vinny and Billy. So, of course, I went down there with Bruce just to see what was going on. And the first thing we observed was not only the very peaceful and well-organized group of protesters, we might say, but the presence of a considerable number of police behind the building. So we realized this was a set piece. And we looked hard at them and saw that they were all lined up and were waiting instructions. And then we realized who the instructors were. So Bruce and I positioned ourselves very close to Billy, because Vinny was on the other side of the group and we couldn't be in two places at once. And we stayed there very close to Billy just to follow through the action. And we saw them issue the warrant, trying to convince Billy to bow to them and go their way. And we watched the whole thing being played through. And at the end, how they pounced on Vinny, and how also the uniformed people pushed around members of the crowd. I didn't know Antoinette or Amy or any of the others. I saw Steve there, but I did see quite a bit of manhandling going on. Now, it was a set piece. It was a calculated move. The people running this game are using advanced psychological and tactical methods. So they're using the forces of the state against the people. We are the people. The police people there were not actually people anymore. They were operating as a force, as a kind of a private army, you might call them, or a corporation activity, which was intended to maintain control and to try and crush any of the New Zealanders who were standing up, men and women, saying, hey, you know, we are free to do what we want. We are here behaving responsibly. However, it was a test. It was a probe. And so I believe that Vinny and Billy were used as a test case to see how much of their nonsense the New Zealand people will take and how much, how hard they have to push and what sort of resistance they'll get. Now, that other fellow was arrested with you too. The, I forget his name, the fellow from Nelson who has the van with all the protest stuff on it. So, this was a set piece. It's part of a bigger game. It's being used by those who are using the state against us, the people. Our money, our resources, everything that that belongs to us is being taken and used against us. All the political parties are in on it, all of them, even the goody-goody two-shoe guys. We are on our own. We are the people, and we are the only ones who can take back our government and our nation. And we do that from the grassroots. So I approve of Billy and Vinny's approach of standing there together with the rest of our friends and the village in Wellington and so on. This is all part of what we are learning. So we push, they smash, we learn. We take our next move, they push us again, we learn. We are learning what to do. And since the constables are no longer operating under their constable oath, they would be impersonating a policeman. So we have to realize that they're not police. They're working as security forces controlled as mercenaries. And a lot of the police, the policemen and women who operate under oath refuse to go into that area of abuse and of attacking the civil rights and the human rights and our own persons, you know, our people, our physical bodies. So this, I believe, was a set piece. Using the courts to try and muffle you two, to shut down your voice, to put fear into the group, but it's having the opposite effect. As we go through the experience, and I know that Billy and Vinny have had a lot of suffering and stress over this nonsense that's been pushed on them, but turn it around into a learning experience. and see how desperate these guys are getting down in Wellington. They don't represent us. They belong to someone else that, who employs them. They take our money, but they take the big money from the big guys who are running the racket. And their COVID-19 racket was being used to browbeat all the Kiwis and make them afraid of each other. We know there was no bloody thing. I mean, I don't wear a mask. It's nonsense. We know that this COVID thing is just absolute nonsense. It's time we realised that everyone had a trip done on their head, and that the media was used and all of these things, pretending they're normal again. Hey, it's just two sides of the same beast. You know, it's a Jekyll and Hyde situation. The friendly face and the nasty face, you know. Just be aware of that game that's being played on our heads. Because this was a frontline experience for us all. And it was a good test. And I'm glad, Billy, that you initiated it. Well, I'm not going to say that because that might make you look like you're... Sorry, I didn't mean it that way. But I'm glad that you took the initiative to share with us the idea of standing together and expressing our opinions that we're not afraid of their disease. We're actually healthy and we're in good shape. They've got the problem and we are the people and we're going to take back our nation. That's enough. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. And we've got to go to Billy TK now. You look like you're in a more stable position there, Brian.
Yes, mentally quite stable, signal-wise and stable as well. So that's a nice thing. So like I was saying before, everyone here is a dear friend that I deeply respect. And for those who don't know of me, I am I'm really just an ordinary person. I'm a former international guitar player. I've toured the world for over 25 years, international businessman for about 15 of those. And former member of the New Zealand military, New Zealand Army, New Zealand Police, voluntary firefighting service as well, community-minded, and definitely just someone who's very concerned with always that people should live and should be able to live in peace, undisturbed by any neighbour or any government. And so when COVID-19 reared its head in early 2020, end of 2019 and really started to appear in New Zealand in 2020, I was actually working in the United States in Chicago excuse me, with my family, performing with Buddy Guy at his club, blues club called Legends in Chicago. And having done the military intelligence courses, this just didn't smell right to me at all. I believed it was a biological weapon that they had perfected and that it was going to be potentially something that was going to wipe out a lot of humans. But fortunately, it's not turned out to be that. In fact, it's turned out to be completely the opposite, probably much to their own chagrin. And so I brought my family back home to New Zealand within a couple of weeks of that, and I locked us down while I figured it out. And I did a deep dive on the issue, applying my research and investigator skills that I'd learned, and immediately the problems were found literally within an hour, I'd found out that the conflicts of interest involved in this would definitely signal a massive problem with the foundation of the narrative, where you have Neil Ferguson, who receives Bill and Melinda Gates funding, who had been discredited twice before for alarming the UK public about his modelings, they're now standing on the same platform telling the world that the COVID-19 was going to be the most deadliest thing that we've seen since the 1918 Spanish flu. And as soon as I started seeing that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had in fact been funding laboratory research around coronaviruses and coronavirus patents, etc., I knew pretty much then that there were some significant problems as well, including Anthony Fauci being an advisory member to the Bill and Melinda Gates board in respect of health issues and health funding. And so I became the leader of the New Zealand Public Party, and which merged into Advance New Zealand. And we were a movement that I don't think New Zealand had ever seen before or will see again. It was a very organic and gentle and pure civil liberties and freedoms and democracy focused movement. I'm not a politician. I don't trust them. I don't like them, generally speaking, except for, you know, two or three exemplary personalities. You know, the ilk of person that finds himself in Parliament is literally there because they've been put there because they're a safe bet. And if you are there for the good for the right reasons, it doesn't take you too long to compromise if you're not resilient enough to deal with that. So where I stand on all this is myself and Vinny were arrested on August the 18th to protest against lockdown harm, which the evidence by that time in 2021, it was pretty conclusive that the infection fatality rate of COVID-19 didn't justify in any way any type of lockdown scenario at all, any mask wearing, any social distancing, because if it did justify that from a health basis, then they needed to do that for pneumonia protection, seasonal flu protection, so none of this added up. And I was deeply concerned with the harm that it was causing the citizens of New Zealand, having dealt with literally thousands of people that were experiencing anger, distress, heightened fear, and having seen that, when they announced yet another lockdown based on one case of COVID-19, I knew that somebody had to call this out in a very significant way. So in the election period in 2020, we were the third largest party. We had won many online political opinion polls. I had been voted the third preferred Prime Minister in a Colmar Brunton poll, which is the very, very significant, prestigious political poll. And that was the first time that a new entrant politician had been voted that way in that particular poll. We've done so well. Millions and millions of people engagements in our messaging. Very much great support. Over 100,000 people directly in our support and database. And then when it came to the election, they said that we had just around 30,000 votes. And you wouldn't be surprised to know that one of the computer programs that was used to protect New Zealand software from voting dishonesty was provided for by Microsoft. I'm now producing The River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary. And this is going to do what all of my colleagues here have been talking about. This is going to expose everything from the nth degree of the COVID-19 narrative, from its very beginning and before then, right to where we are today. And we are looking at the science, the health data around it. We're taking 10 claims that the government made about COVID, and we are debunking them in very, very shocking fashion. I can say that now because we've completed the process of analysing the data. But what I've also doing is I am analysing the more insidious aspect of this, which is the who's who in the zoo involved in this, people connections, organisation connections, funding flow, nepotism, corruption, and all those things. And I can tell you that it's gonna blow people away that thought New Zealand was a beautiful, free, utopian place to live. It's not that. We are at the very, very front, ahead of Canada, ahead of Australia, ahead of England. We are at the very, very front of total globalization tyranny through a new fourth industrial revolution, technocratic, green, communistic, fascist, great reset society that they want for us. And it doesn't matter where we turn politically in New Zealand, the plague is there. And what shocks me really by no short amount is that a lot of freedom fighter leaders that are so-called into politics now haven't really woken up to the depth of it. And so hopefully this, I can say the River of Lies, New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary, is going to reveal all that so that people have good, calm data that's fact-checker resistant, that they can deal with this, because we're in serious trouble here in New Zealand. We are. But I'm also a pastor of House of the Lord Ministries, and my hope and my trust is in the Lord. I believe that the Bible has all of this figured out for us, and that's why I knew in early 2020 that's what we were in for, and it is not going back to normal. It's not going backwards. Unfortunately, it's going to get a lot worse before we go through the other side of the tunnel. So I want to encourage everyone to stay strong, and this is a great panel to be a part of. Thanks for inviting me, Vinny, my fellow criminal.
Yeah. We're criminals, you know. It didn't used to mean people like us, but now it does. They just change the definitions of words, don't they? Now, to wrap this all up in a neat little package, we've got the lovely Dr. Rima Labo. You might want to unmute.
Yes. First of all, let me say that I am honored to be in the presence of such august criminals. I am inspired by your criminality and by the strength and devotion that your supporters of criminality with whom we are talking today are standing. I think it's enormously important. We are indeed the people, and there are a great many more of us. They would like to change that, of course, and have a great many fewer of us, to which I say, depopulation, fine, you first, which is similar to the commercial message, if they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. It's another way of saying, don't you dare, which I believe to be the three most important.
Oh, have we lost Rima there?
Where did you lose me? I was saying, don't you dare.
It was the most important.
The three most important words that a free man or woman can utter. And we must say, don't you dare, again and again, in a panoply of different ways, as you all know. I would like, when Vinny, at the time of your arrest, I did not yet know Billy, but I knew Vinny. And we learned that Vinny was arrested, and so my fellow trustee of the Natural Solutions Foundation, who's an attorney, Ralph Fusatola, and I went looking for Vinny, and we discovered that he had been disappeared. We did not yet know that Billy would have been disappeared along with him, and it took us quite a while to find him. We called Amnesty International, we called the New Zealand police, we called the office of the Prime Minister, and we said, what'd you do with Vinny? Where's Vinny? Where'd you put Vinny? What'd you do? He's folded up somewhere in a corner. We want to know where he is, and we want to make sure that he's fine. And the answer was from Amnesty International, nah, we don't care. And the answer was from the Prime Minister's office, who are you? And the answer was from the police, no, we're saying nothing. So given that habeas corpus is part of your legal system as it is ours, this was most instructive but not surprising. We are living in criminal times. We are living in times when Vinny and Billy are not criminals. The people who are given the robes of authority and the resources to manipulate society are the deepest of criminals and have zero legitimacy. They have stolen, as Chris has said, they have stolen legitimacy. So, I have a solution. I'm a doctor. I fix things. Okay, the solution is, if your country or my country or any other country remains a member state of these criminal organizations which are giving themselves the legitimacy by, for example, the World Holocaust Organization morphing itself from an advisory organization, one of the most corrupt and badly functioning in the world, but an advisory organization to a controlling organization. If you allow that to happen, then Tedros becomes the unchallenged and unchallengeable dictator of the world. By the way, just to assure you of how much he has your benefits in mind, your well-being in mind, and mine, he has just extended the moneypox, the K is silent, he has just extended the moneypox emergency, a public health emergency of international concern, because you know people who are dropping dead from moneypox, right? Oh, you don't? Oh, silly. So it is, in my view, my strategic analysis of the situation, the juggernaut that's coming over the hill to kill us all, or almost all of us, and transhumanize and enslave the rest of us, making us part of the internet of bodies, is the WHO. If you're not pushing to get out of the WHO, then you're asking to be slaughtered or enslaved. And behind that, of course, is the United Nations. So I would urge you to support the freedom fighters like Billy and like Vinny. Yes, yes, yes. And then take all of your effort that remains to get your countries out of the damn WHO and the United Nations. That's why we set up PreventGenocide2030.org. It is not only imperative, it is essential for survival of the human genome and the human species. It's that bad, as far as I can see. So the plague is not COVID. The plague is not even the politicians. The plague is the organizations that they've structured to destroy humanity and destroy any semblance of freedom. So that's where I see things are. And I want to congratulate and celebrate the fact that I'm allowed to talk to people who are supporting Vinny and Billy, and that I'm allowed to share my views because we still have the internet. And I think that that we're in a state of absolute, full-blown, level 5 out of 4 emergency. And Vinny and Billy have shown us the tenor of the brutality that's coming toward us. But it's only the beginning unless we do something about it. Other than that, I have no opinion.
Dr. Rima Lebo, everybody. The classic and the awesome she is. We've only got about maybe 5 minutes left in the show, and I would like to thank each of our panelists for joining us today. Big loves, big hugs, big all the rest. And also I would like to notice people as well. If you go to riveroflies.co.nz, you can see Billy's website for his documentary. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, reopen.nz, a directory of anti-mandate, pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. Go to reopen.nz and add your freedom business today, as well as my wonderful naturopath, David Holden, who has been taking care of me since I found out I've got liver damage and all of these kind of things, but that's never the mind. He's also a very, very good naturopath and fantastic at what he does. So if you've got some kind of thing that's a hard-to-treat case, that's his speciality. And you know me, I'm a hard-to-treat case. Now, also, you can donate at vinnyeastwood.com, ladies and gentlemen, /donate.html, or just click the donate banner at the top of the homepage there, and you can set up automatic payments through KiwiBank, PayPal, and Patreon. I really do want to thank all of my listeners and sponsors for supporting the show thus far, especially those people who support my band, Vinny and the Vendettas, who've made all the music for the show today. And we're in the studio at the moment recording new tracks, so that's all that is for that. Now, Billy TK, Steve Oliver from Oliver MMA, Dr. Rima Lebo from the Natural Solutions Foundation, Amy Benjamin, The Last American Spirit, Antoinette James is just awesome, and so is Chris Newman too. So thank you guys so much for joining us here today. All right, you can speak now if you want. You know, we've got like a minute left for you. Anybody want to speak? Sing Kumbaya? who's that then? Go ahead.
Thanks for being on here, mate. But, yeah, nothing but respect for everybody that's on here. You know, there is dark days coming. Just, you know, we're part of, you know, a healthy living type of lifestyle that we promote down at the gym. And now, you know, now they're trying to ban supplements, even oatmeal's on the list of banned products. So soon we're going to have to go to get a script to get oatmeal. You know, it's just ridiculous, mate, and I just can't understand how everybody's just rolling over and letting it happen. But interesting times, but I know that you know, there's a great bunch of people involved that aren't just rolling. Much respect to everybody here.
Thanks everybody, Vinny. Catch you later, and we will see you again too, ladies and gentlemen, at Vinny Eastwood
kiwiradio.nz.com. Thank you so much to Republic Broadcasting Network and kiwiradio.nz for carrying this broadcast. And thank you, YouTube, for not censoring us. Yeah. There we go. See you later, guys. Cheers.